Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And we're
rolling
right towards Valentine's Day, Kevin.
I know, it's so sweet. What'd you get me for Valentine's Day?
A big, huge box of chocolates to make you fatter.
Awesome, awesome. Because I hear you're really working on, you're probably way more than I do, because I'm down to like 245. I'm a lean 245.
Yeah, I don't really want to talk about that. I'm moving to a warmer state, and I'm going to go outside from now on and exercise.
Going outside, the sun does not make you less fat.
Well, I have a plan, and I think this is a good time to talk about how I'm moving to Austin, Texas, which is why I think somebody emailed us about the virtual studio in the sky and how they didn't like that, but I think that's what's... We should explain why we have to have the virtual studio in the sky. It's because I'm moving to Austin, Texas.
Because we are physically not in the same location.
Right. Because it's
through the magic of technology, we can now connect up in the magical studio in the sky, which is virtual now.
Right. So next week when I'm coming to you, I'll be in Austin, which is, you know, going to be pretty cool.
Yes.
But I'm going to buy a bike and bike myself around town.
Kind of like how you joined the gym last year. And then left.
Hey, that worked for a while.
Didn't you like pay for a year in advance?
No.
I thought you did.
Month to month.
Oh, okay. You're lucky about that because it was like in May that you did that.
Right. I know. Yeah. And then I left like three or four. When I almost lasted a year at the gym.
Like 6 months.
But there's also a gym at my new apartment complex. So pretty excited about that too.
In Austin, Texas?
In Austin, Texas.
Wow, that's awesome.
So, anyways, we're going to talk about movies here in a second, but before we get to that, here's how you can get a hold of us. Go over to fatguysofthemovies.com, hit us up on iTunes, just search Fat Guys of the Movies. You can email us, fatguysoffilmschoolrejects.com. We did get a few emails, which we're going to talk about later. And voicemail, if you like, leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. We got another voicemail this week from our good friend Drew Nugent.
Who unloaded his rage on you. It was a very, very subtle rage, though. He was just saddened.
It's kind of long, so I don't think we can really play it.
We might play it later on or put it up as a separate link if you'd like.
Right. But I think just to summarize for you, Drew felt offended that we lumped him in with us as fat guys. I don't think Drew realizes how cool that is yet.
Yeah, that's not an insult. It's a sign of love.
Right, and he then accused me of abusing everyone.
Yeah, you abused my child, one of my kids. And he also accused you of calling Dawn from California old.
Yeah, which I believe I've already rectified the situation with Dawn, so we don't even talk about that anymore.
Yeah.
But, and I did not abuse your child. I think we all know that. But I will find a way to abuse Drew Nugent in some way over the next few shows.
That's right.
But before that, let's abuse some movies. We're going to start off with Friday the 13th, in which a deformed Jason Voorhees lurks in the woods at Camp Crystal Lake, awaiting a dozen or so young and attractive people ready to start a drinking and a sexin', and then he kills them.
Did you know a young boy drowned here? He was my son. And today is his birthday.
Hey, I'm not from around here, but I'm looking for my sister. She's gone missing.
People go missing around here, they're gone for good.
This place is called Camp Crystal Lake.
His name was Jason.
To listeners of this program, it is a well-known documented fact that you are a wussy pants when it comes to seeing horror movies. And yet somehow you tend to like love certain ones. Like I remember, what was it, last year or the year before, you just loved 30 Days of Night.
Yeah, and then last year I really liked The Strangers.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It's this weird thing.
Have you ever seen any of the Friday the 13th movies before?
Week? No, I mean, to say that I'm a huge pansy is true, but I have seen a lot of horror movies in my life.
You just go with your boyfriend and cuddle.
I just hide my eyes through the whole thing, and I jump. I don't know. You've sat next to me during movies like this. I jump.
I've sat next to you during like Pixar movies, and you jump.
Yeah, but it's bad when I, like, I shake and jump and jolt and knock people out of the seat next to me and stuff like that.
And wet your pants and all that.
It's terrible.
Kind of stuff.
It's uncontrollable. Like, even if I know something's coming, like, if I went and saw Friday the 13th again, I'd still jump. Yeah. Even though I know when all the killings happen.
Which, interesting piece of trivia. Jason kills 13 people in this movie. That's not really a spoiler, because there's so many you really have to think about it to keep count.
See, I would have thought it was more.
Well, no, I was going through and I'm thinking, I'm like, there's more than 13 deaths in the movie, but Jason is responsible for 13 of them.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I'll jump in and I want to say that all 13 of them were pretty enjoyable for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie.
Especially since
like,
some of them were naked.
There were a few naked females. There was just one moment, and there's one character in the movie who, when you meet him, you instantly know that A, he's going to die, and B, you're going to enjoy it.
And it's going to be a little more elaborate.
Right. And his death is, I don't know, the death isn't as good as what happens right before his death. So yeah. I will just say that. But here's what I thought was brilliant about this movie. It was a lot of fun. You know, and as well, it really has a good rhythm to it. Like, it moves very quickly, and yeah, a lot of killing happens in a short period of time, and the movie doesn't feel like it lingers. I feel like a good slasher flick should just kind of, you know, bore its way in and, you know, have speed on the way out.
Slasher movies shouldn't be more than 90 minutes or so.
Yeah, but I honestly think that the first 20 minutes of this movie are the best I've seen from any slasher movie since probably the late 80s.
Yeah, well, and it's like the first 20 minutes are its own little movie.
Yeah.
And then they have another movie, kind of like Australia, only with more brutal violence.
Right.
Yes. What I liked about it was for a Friday the 13th movie, and this is what I've told people. I'm like, if you're like, oh, Benjamin Button was the greatest movie ever, don't go see this movie because you're going to hate it. You know, this is a Friday the 13th movie. If you haven't seen some of the old ones, they've made 11 of them. You can go catch any of them on video. And it's a very formulaic thing. There was nothing really innovative about Friday the 13th, the first movie. Mm-hmm. The writer will tell you he was there just to rip off Halloween.
Right.
That's a well-known fact. And it's really nothing more complex than a bunch of kids go a sexing and a drinking and they get killed.
Yeah.
And that's what this movie's about. So it's a slasher movie, but for a slasher movie, it works. Unlike where's Marcus Nispel, is that how you say his name? The director, he did the Texas Chainsaw remake, which I didn't like because he went overly graphic, whereas the original one had such a visceral freakiness to it.
Right.
I think if you talk about, like, if you look at like Halloween and Texas Chainsaw as slasher movies, there was something unique about them and that put them above the fray of just an average run-of-the-mill slasher movie, whereas Friday the 13th was just a slasher movie.
Yeah, exactly.
So those remakes, I didn't like the remakes of Halloween or Texas Chainsaw, but this remake, I'm like, hey, it's a Friday the 13th movie. It's got Jason killing people. That's awesome.
Exactly. And you know what? That's all it is. It's mildly retarded American cliche teenagers.
Did you just drop the R-bomb?
Yes. Oh, that's totally illegal. Getting impaled by a machete and various other objects.
Yes.
And you know what? In my mind, that'll get a movie of rocks. It's, you know, even though I don't like horror, even though I'm not the biggest fan of blood and killing, this movie rocked.
I'm going to say kind of rocks because there's better stuff out there, but it's still good. We got to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more movies. Now, if you're listening to us on the Fat Guys,
I hope
no
one's watching us right now because I don't have pants on.
Oh, that's awesome. but if you're listening to us on fatguysatthemovies.com, you've probably seen this post on there. If you're listening through Film School Rejects or on the radio, go to fatguysatthemovies.com and you'll see the wicked cool Jason hockey mask that New Line Cinema sent me.
Yeah.
Did you get one of these?
I did not, and I'm I'm none too happy about not getting one.
It is so cool because it came in a box that says Camp Crystal Lake. You open it and it goes.
Also, really if anyone watches the Bonnie Hunt show, which I do,
Are you on it?
Jared Padalecki from the movie brought one of those that was autographed by the cast to auction off for the Bonnie Hunt Charities thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, just in case. I mean, we might have like one listener out there who also watches the Bonnie Hunt show. Like,
I don't think we have a whole lot of crossover between our show and hers.
But her show's awesome, as is ours.
I love Bonnie Hunt. So. I love Bonnie Hunt. But you know what? What's funny is I get swag all the time from studios because they try to butter us up, you know.
Because they know it'll work on you, is basically what you're saying. Yeah. That's why they don't send me stuff, because it has no effect.
Exactly. So I got this mask, and my kids were running around with it, and I gave them, I went off on them. I'm like, no, that's my costume for next year's Halloween.
Oh, jeez.
Because normally they send you stuff and it's cheap stuff. You know, I mean, something that, you know, it's or it's something completely worthless. Like, they once sent us the pillow from Heartbreak Kid, which was the most, with Ben Stiller's face.
I use that, actually. It's on my bed.
Do you? Yeah. I threw it out. It was, but I mean, it's like sometimes they send really weird stuff, but this was an awesome one. And they sent me a severed foot for The Hills Have Eyes Part 2.
A real one.
No,
it was just a random crew member's foot.
If it was a real severed foot, I would have really given him kudos. I would have given him an A. I would have just rated the movie good, just because I'm like, they cut off somebody's foot and sent it to me.
Right, exactly.
That's good enough. It could be the worst movie ever, but it's worth it.
Fair enough. Speaking of movies, what's our next movie that we're talking about here?
The next movie is Confessions of a Shopaholic. A compulsive shopper accidentally lands a job at a finance magazine and tries to hide the fact that she's under a mountain of debt.
Declined.
Can you try again?
Really declined.
How are you gonna pay this debt?
Yeah.
I know I've made some mistakes,
yeah,
but I'm turning my life around.
Yeah.
Fluent in Finnish?
Everyone pads their resume a little.
Took a job at a savings magazine.
Don't you think that's kind of ironic that Rebecca Bloomwood is advising people on how to handle money?
Coachy boots!
I saw him first.
Give up to me!
Now,
did you see this movie?
No, I didn't, but I heard that it was a lot like The Reader, only not.
Only there's like no continuous nudity with Ella Fisher and no Nazis.
See, if it only had that, I mean,
I'd watch it.
Wow.
In fact,
I don't know. Somebody actually compared it to The Reader, because it's about a character who hides something throughout the whole movie. But
it's also probably very similar to Lawrence of Arabia, as in it's in English,
and very similar to Casablanca, as in it's in focus.
Yeah, and they have sync sound. I mean, what? This is nothing like The Reader. This is nothing like literally, if you would have told me, of all the movies from last year, what's this most like? The Reader would have been like dead last. It has more in common with Benjamin Button or Milk.
So what you're saying is that this should be nominated for an Oscar?
Yes.
Okay.
No, not really.
Just making sure.
Ella Fisher, she's hot. And she actually, I got to say, this was sort of her test run to see if she could carry a movie.
Right.
And we'll see if it does well. But I think she's got the screen presence and the cuteness and the it factor. Like, she could be like another Reese Witherspoon, where she could get these romantic comedies periodically.
Right.
So I mean, it's, if you're gonna compare it to anything, it'd be like The Devil Wears Prada or Sex in the City, you know. And she's cute, but it's very fluffy and glitzy, and like the first half is actually pretty funny. It has some very funny moments that I laughed, and then they like kind of got through and they're like, you know what, we gotta have a story here, so we better like try and make this all work. And that's where it kind of unravels and kind of frays at the seams and everything, and kind of comes back. And so for a romantic comedy, this is your Valentine's Day weekend thing, guys. If you drag your girlfriend or wife to go see Friday the 13th, you're going to see this on Saturday,
right? Exactly. And you know, I guess the question is, it could be worse, question mark?
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad, but I mean, guys aren't going to love it, but it's cute. I mean, it has some funny things in it, but then it just, like Bride Wars, how Bride Wars was really funny, and then they're like, oh wait, we got to put plot and character in here, and it kind of ruined it.
Right, right. Okay. Well, fair enough.
So it kind of rocks for a degree.
All right, cool. I didn't see it, so I'm not even, I just know that Ella Fisher's hot. So there you go.
Yes, she is. Yes.
What I did see is The International, in which Clive Owen plays an Interpol agent who uncovers secrets that put a powerful bank at the center of a grand conspiracy that involves assassination and weapons dealing.
Nice read.
I know, I try.
2 years ago, we began receiving intelligence regarding the International Bank of Business and Credit. Anyone that's ever been in a position to move against this bank has either ended up dead or disappeared.
You are accusing the world's largest bank of conspiracy and murder. But there is no evidence.
What do they know about you that I don't?
I know that there has to be a way to bring down this bank.
You will have to go outside the system of justice. Because everyone is involved.
Yeah, this is actually directed by a favorite director of mine, Tom Tykwer, who did Perfume, The Story of a Murderer, which I loved.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I felt like he deserves... I mean, his movie isn't going to necessarily get a lot of high marks from us, I have a feeling. Or at least me.
That's an understatement.
So I thought I'd nail the intro.
Okay, well, no, that's cool. Go ahead and do yours... review because and but I want to save 2 minutes on the back end so I can just rant.
Well, here's the deal with the International. There's a really awesome fight scene.
Shootout.
It's a shootout in the Guggenheim that's in the middle. So that's that. Otherwise, I like Clive Owen. I like Naomi Watts. But really, the story just kind of stumbles along and has a really stupid ending. And I say stupid because when you get to it, you feel stupid. Mm. And you feel like whoever wrote that was stupid.
Okay.
Because it's stupid. But otherwise, I mean, it's a passable thriller. It just doesn't tie itself up so well. It's almost like they got to the end of it and they thought, geez, how are we going to end this?
Yeah, but it's not much. There's not a whole lot of thrilling going on in there. There's like two or three scenes that are exciting, and then lots of people talking about convoluted politics and finance stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of high concept stuff in it. It just, I don't know.
There's a scene in there where it's actually relatively near the end where they're interrogating a bad guy, sort of bad guy, and he says, "There's the difference between fiction and truth." Fiction has to make sense. And right. In this sense, this movie was the most truthful film you could ever do. Because it made no sense. It really made no sense. There's a scene from beginning. There's usually a scene that loses me. And this was very early in the beginning because something happens and he can't remember something. And so in order to remember, Clive Owen goes home, dumps about 7 pounds of ice in his sink, turns on the water and sticks his face in there and suddenly remembers. Which I'm like, what is he? Is he a Wonder Twin or something? Where does he get this amazing power that ice focuses him? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, it's this grand conspiracy and it's so convoluted and doesn't make sense. And you don't know why. There's like thing where they have this assassin and he's supposed to be the best assassin in the world, but kind of like the movie Hitman where he was the most conspicuous hitman ever made.
Right.
This guy, he's like, I'm the best assassin. I blend in everywhere. Yet I've got this leg brace and this shoe that they only make 100 of them a year. And I'm going to walk around through all the crime scenes with it. That is how ridiculous it is. And then it's like they're in Europe and they got all the police there and it seems very realistic. And then they come to Brooklyn. Literally, they come out of the airport and they get met by a black woman, a Hispanic, and a fat dude who looked like he walked right off of CSI.
It's actually the former chief from Rescue Me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just watching this going, this is the most ludicrous film ever made. And it makes no sense. And... like they have this awesome shootout scene, but even that scene doesn't make sense. And I don't want to go into it because I have to spoil all this stuff, but yeah. Just trust me, it makes no sense. But whereas like Friday the 13th doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
But it doesn't need to.
It's a slasher movie. This movie, it's supposed to be, it could happen. And you watch it and go, it could totally never happen. So,
even if you believe in the bank corruption, which I kind of do,
well, there's something to that.
There's just no way. This series of events could play out.
Well, but it's a super powerful bank, but everything hinges on one little thing. It really doesn't make any. It's just if you want to see international thriller, go see Taken again.
Yeah, yeah. So. I'm going kind of sucks on this one. I thought it looked good. Man. Let's do this. I thought it looked good, and I thought the score was okay. So
all right.
It kind of sucks.
It's like a stripper with herpes. Looks good, but not going to have much fun with her.
Ugh. 22 miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
And we're back on Fat Guys the Movies, and we've got a special treat for you.
Woo-hoo.
We're going to do the box office segment.
Yes.
Which we normally do. But then after that, we're going to announce the winners or losers. I don't know how you would really phrase that, of the 2009 Gag Awards.
The winners. Give them that at least.
Yes. The worst of the worst of the worst of the worst.
That's right.
The 2009 Gag Awards.
That's right.
So, but before we get to that, let's talk box office. Last week was...
In a big surprise.
Wait, hold on. I don't have the information up.
He's just not that into you. Yeah.
I almost forgot.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is they didn't even screen this for half of us because you could have gone and seen it, but you didn't. I didn't have a chance to see it. And, I mean, this kind of movie... I would have expected this movie to do well like this weekend because it's a romantic comedy.
Right.
But yeah, it just sort of went crazy on the box office.
Yep, 27 million. Taken was in second, still rolling along. Taken at 20 million seems to be like the first kind of decent hit of the year.
Almost a surprise hit. Well, no. The first hit was Paul Blart.
Oh, stupid. Yeah. Try and block that out of my mind. And then Coraline made 16 million. I contributed 20 something dollars to that because I took my mom to see it and we both loved it.
Isn't it awesome?
It was a great movie.
One of the best movies.
So, and then Pink Panther 2 at 11 million finished fourth. Push finished sixth at 10 million behind Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Yeah.
Stupid $96 million.
Well, see, you know what's funny is two things I do want to kind of rant at real quick about box office analysts. There's people like going, oh, look at Jennifer Aniston, another hit. I'm like, no one cared about her. She's box office.
Seriously.
She went from being box office poison to just not being box office poison, where she doesn't actually kill a movie, but it really doesn't do well because of her. You know, because
I have a feeling that Marley and Me was, I mean, it was
the dog.
And the book. And I think this one is the book, the awareness of the book as well.
Yeah.
So.
And no one's seeing it for Jennifer Aniston. If anyone, they're seeing it for Drew Barrymore. She's more high profile in it, and she's a producer on it. So Jennifer, it's the media wants to create these things of this, oh, it's Jennifer Aniston versus Brad Pitt versus Angelina Jolie. And I'm like, nobody goes and sees a movie. You got the real top tier stars that people go see a movie for, but Jennifer
like Will Smith and Tom Cruise.
Yeah, or Clint Eastwood. A lot of people went and saw Gran Torino because they wanted to see Clint Eastwood in it. But, you know, and then the other one I want to rant at, Pink Panther 2 did not do well, but it wasn't a huge bomb because people are like, oh, it's a huge bomb. And even John Carnes on Film School Rejects, who does the Reject Report, he was going so heavy on Pink Panther 2, which I'm like, I know you didn't like it, but, you know, it wasn't a huge, but it wasn't like Inkheart, which made like half of what it made or New in Town. Or The Spirit. It wasn't like a bomb like The Spirit, which made like $5 million and opened on Christmas Day.
Right.
So, you know, just Pink Panther 2 is more like it didn't do well. It's not a huge, colossal bomb that will go down in history.
Right.
So.
It is what it is.
That's just all I have to say.
So this weekend, I guess the question is, which romantic comedy will win?
Yeah.
Shopaholic or He's Just Not That Into You?
I don't know. I'm actually kind of leaning. I think there's a good shot that He's Not That Just Not That Into You will probably beat Shopaholic.
Right.
Just because it has more people that people recognize, and it just doesn't have the buzz that He's Not That Into You was advertised heavily, and I haven't seen as much about Shopaholic.
Yeah. My theory is that Friday the 13th is going to win the weekend.
It could. I mean, you know, if you talk the very, very classic, like the top tier horror remakes, Texas Chainsaw 1, Halloween 1. There's a good shot. I think it's going to do great business on Friday.
Yep. It's the widest release. We haven't had a good horror movie in a while.
My Bloody Valentine.
So, well, we haven't had a good horror movie in a while. So I have a feeling that and it's a big name. You know, people would randomly stumble into a movie theater and say, "Oh, Friday the 13th. I'd go see that."
Yeah. No, I think it's got a good shot. But it's going to be either that or one of the romantic comedies, because it's going to be such a huge date movie weekend.
Right. And I think The International falls outside the top five.
It's not going to go. We had a free screening.
I love Clive Owen, man.
We had a free screening, and like it was like half filled.
Right.
Yeah, so no way.
Yeah. So there you have it.
Yeah.
Moving on, let's talk about the Gag Awards. I'm really excited about this.
The 2009 worst movies of the year. Yeah, we're bringing out the awards. You know, forget the Razzies. The Gag Awards are where it's at.
Totally.
So let's go through this, because you don't know what they are. I have the winners in front of me. You don't know. So
right, which
get
is
your...
totally not fair.
Yeah. Well, it'll be fun because, okay, so let's just start off because we got limited
Are you
going
to go in reverse order?
Do you want me to?
Well, I don't think you should announce worst picture first.
Okay. Well, let's start with worst Oscar bait.
Okay.
All right. We have Changeling, Miracle at St. Anna, The Reader, 7 Pounds, and W.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner is, drum roll, please. The winner is 7 Pounds, Will Smith, which is funny because they came out with a story today where like he's bankable and he always wins the box. I'm like, no, he didn't. 7 Pounds was a stinker and it didn't do that well.
It was kind of a stinker, although I would argue for Miracle at St. Anna. That was terrible.
Yeah, well, Miracle at St. Anna was bad too. So the next one is most overexposed actor or actress. We had Elizabeth Banks, Brendan Fraser, Angelina Jolie, Seth Rogen, and Kate Winslet. Who do you think won this one?
Angelina Jolie.
It was Seth Rogen by a sizable margin, but he's been so overexposed.
Fair enough.
He came out with Spiderwick Chronicles, Horton Hears a Who, Kung Fu Panda, Step Brothers, Pineapple Express, and Zack and Miri.
Yeah.
He deserves
Yeah, he's award. He's been he's out there.
Yeah.
So
the next
All right,
one
cool.
we have the worst blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, the nominees were Hancock, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, Sex and the City, and Twilight. Which one do you think won that?
Twilight.
Twilight totally. Won that one, yeah.
Yes.
That one.
I win.
Yes. That I was surprised. I was expecting, and we'll talk a little bit about where some of the votes were swinging. Next, mm-hmm. we have Worst Sequel. Harold and mm-hmm. Kumar, Escape from Guantanamo Bay, Indiana Jones.
If that
Jones,
one wins, I'm going to be so pissed.
And The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, Madagascar, Escape to Africa, The X-Files, I Want to Believe. What do you think won?
X-Files.
The X-Files won. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, it was
Harold and Kumar, man. There's no way that was the worst sequel of the year.
No, it actually got
Love
very,
that movie.
It got very low votes on that one. Cool. Worst special effects. We have 10,000 BC, Disaster Movie, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, Meet the Spartans, and Twilight. Which one?
I don't know. The sparkles in Twilight were pretty bad.
It was Twilight. It beat out Disaster Movie and beat the Spartans for worst
Twilight's going to be the big winner.
Well,
I think.
Maybe not. Okay. Worst animated film. We had Delgo, Fly Me to the Moon.
Obvious choice.
Igor, Madagascar, Escape to Africa, and Star Wars, The Clone Wars. What do you think?
It's either Star Wars or Delgo.
You know, you're wrong. It was actually Fly Me to the Moon.
How did that win?
Well, it's not that good of a movie to begin with.
Star Wars was crap.
And
Delgo was barely even an animated movie.
No one saw Delgo. That's the thing. They didn't screen it, and nobody saw it. So that's, I think, one of the big reasons why it didn't win.
Okay.
Real quick.
Worst documentary.
It's Bigger, Stronger, Faster, IOUSA, No Intelligence Allowed, Roman Polanski, Wanted and Desired, or Where in the World is Osama Bin Laden? What do you think won?
I have no idea.
Yeah, IOUSA won.
Really?
Worst movie. Yeah, worst documentary. And now we got worst.
I don't know how you can do worst documentary.
Yeah.
It just seemed like kind of a trite category to me.
Yeah, it's there.
Oh, well.
Now we're going into the big name, the big awards.
Dun, 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 dun.
Worst screenplay. 10,000 BC, Disaster Movie, In the Name of the King, A Dungeon Siege Tale, The Love Guru, or Meet Dave?
Disaster Movie all the way.
Meet Dave won.
Wow.
This was a bit of a horse race between Meet Dave and The Love Guru, but it...
I can't even believe the Disaster Movie got a pass on the screenplay, because if there's anything that was really bad about that movie, it was the screenplay.
And the special effects.
Well, and the directing.
And the movie itself.
So, moving on.
So, worst supporting actress. Lake Bell from Over Her Dead Body. Katie Holmes from Mad Money. Scarlett Johansson in The Spirit. Kim Kardashian in Disaster Movie. And Thandi Newton in W.
Scarlett was really bad.
Is that your final answer?
Really bad, yeah.
That's the one that won. Scarlett Johansson won Worst Supporting Actress for The Spirit because she was awful in that movie.
She was pretty awful.
Worst Supporting Actor. Shia LaBeouf from Indiana Jones. Matthew Lillard from In the Name of the King. Tracy Morgan from First Sunday. Vern Troyer from The Love Guru. And Dominic West from Punisher Warzone.
I almost feel like Dominic West should win this one.
He did not. It was Vern Troyer from The Love Guru.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it was spread out a little bit. I don't think enough people saw In the Name of the King to vote for Matthew Lillard.
I really have a feeling that I don't like that where this is going with The Love Guru.
Well, let's look at the worst actress. Worst actress, Maria Bello, The Tomb of the Mummy 3. Paris Hilton from The Hottie and the Naughty. Kate Hudson from Fool's Gold. Eva Longoria Parker from Over Her Dead Body. And Kate Winslet for Revolutionary Road.
Not even sure how Kate Winslet ended up on the ballot.
She got a lot of votes on that one. Or rather, a lot of nominations.
But Eva Longoria.
Definitely. Absolutely right. Eva Longoria Parker for Over Her Dead Body.
See, I'm very in tune with what's bad.
You are. You have a good idea. You can predict. Because you usually win those Oscar polls when we have Oscar parties and stuff.
Well, that's true.
Now, worst actor. This is where it starts to get really interesting. Or sort of.
Mm-hmm.
You have Martin Lawrence from Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins. Matthew McConaughey from Fool's Gold. Eddie Murphy from Meet Dave. Mike Myers from The Love Guru. And Al Pacino from 88 Minutes.
I have a weird feeling that Al Pacino won.
Actually, he didn't. It was Mike Myers from The Love Guru. Horse race between him and Eddie Murphy. But Al Pacino was up there, too. He got a lot of votes.
Stupid. Everybody's picking on The Love Guru.
Ah, now, worst director. Freeberg and Seltzer for Disaster Movie. Brian Robbins from Meet Dave. Marco Schnabel, M. Night Shyamalan from The Happening, and Steven Spielberg, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Once again, not even sure how Steven Spielberg ended up on this ballot.
Well, this is what's interesting. The winner was The Love Guru, Marco Schnabel. He was the worst. But what's interesting with Steven Spielberg and the Indiana Jones, it was a real split vote. It was either getting high ranks or low ranks. And so even there were some people who were putting it as the voting at the worst. There were a lot of people who were either leaving it off or not even voting for it. So it was a bit of an up in the air thing. But Indiana Jones, there just wasn't enough hate out there for it. Probably see where this is all going. Worst picture, Disaster Movie, The Love Guru, Meet Dave, Over Her Dead Body, or Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins.
I can't even believe Disaster Movie is going to get no awards.
It was The Love Guru.
God.
Worst picture. But you know what's funny? Over Her Dead Body came in a very close second.
I don't understand how Disaster Movie was not worse than The Love Guru.
I don't know.
Over Her Dead Body, because both of those movies were just abominations.
They were all terrible.
And The Love Guru had its moments.
I'm surprised that Meet Dave didn't win more. But you know, hey, I was actually pretty, I was pretty in tune with what was going on. I didn't agree with all of them, but I have to say, I wasn't disappointed too much with anything. Oh, and then there was Cinematic Tragedy of the Years, but you're going to have to go to Film School Rejects for the Gag Awards post. The winner was former funny men Eddie Murphy and Mike Myers, proving they may no longer be funny.
Ugh, sad times.
Got to go to a break.
And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys the Movies. We got you hooked up with the Gag Awards winners, which I'm still kind of disappointed about. I feel like Disaster Movie should have won more.
Well, and I think the reason some of these movies didn't win, same thing with Delgo, not enough people saw them. Paris Hilton was nominated for The Hottie and the Naughty, and I think I'd be surprised if even one person who was a voting member even saw that.
I saw it.
You saw it. Okay. Yeah. So that's you.
Yeah. So, but anyways, time to move on. Time for a little DVD roundup. And Kevin, you go ahead and do your picks first.
All right. This is a weird week for DVDs because there was a lot that was released and very few of the releases are any good.
Right. But you have three picks.
I have three picks. Well, my first two are the ones that actually got released this week, and that's My Name is Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the Bruce Campbell movie where he fights Quan Ji, ancient Chinese.
There's a really awesome faux documentary on the special features.
Oh, is there?
Is hilarious.
Yeah, it's a fun movie, and especially if you're a Bruce Campbell fan. So, and we did an interview with him not too long ago, so you can go back and listen to that.
We're biased, but we're okay with it.
Excuse me, I'm dying. Blindness is the other one that came out this week that I really enjoyed, just because I thought it was a neat movie. It didn't get enough play, and a lot of people hated it, but I enjoyed it.
Right.
And I also have to throw in Friday the 13th, the deluxe editions, part 1, 2, and 3. I got sent these late, so I didn't actually get them in my DVD from last. They came out last week, but I want to give them a little shout-out this week because it's fun to watch them again. It's the first three movies remastered on DVD. There's some, I don't know if there's any, there's a whole lot of new special features to it because I think this is from an older DVD release, but it's a new re-release of them, and you get part 3 with the 3D glasses.
Nice.
Which a little tip, if you have, if you watch 3D at home, you get that double vision garbage going on because it's that anaglyph.
Yeah.
Use both sets, and it actually, it cuts down on the double image. Like, use two sets of 3D glasses to watch your movie.
Wow, interesting.
A little tip.
Anyways, my DVD picks of the week, this was a tough one for me because it was really between Barbie and Her Beautiful Dream House and Knights in Rodanthe.
Oh.
And I decided to use neither one of those.
Oh, you're a rebel.
And I've got two Blu-ray picks that I'm like, first one is Raging Bull, De Niro, classic. Yeah. And the other one's Boondock Saints, which I think it's you know, it's got a little following out there. So Boondock Saints finally on Blu-ray. I'm very happy about that. Also, Back to the Future 1, 2, and 3 were re-released on DVD for the first time in a long time.
In a long time. Is Boondock Saints, does it have decent special features? Because they came out with like a special edition of that like a couple years ago on DVD.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to that special edition. I don't think there's a whole lot extra.
All right. But Barbie's beautiful. That's not even a real one. I just put it on the list just because I thought it'd be funny.
Because you were going to mess with me.
That's right.
I see how it is. Yeah. So, anyways, what's our stinkers of the week?
Well, yeah, we say stinkers. That's right, because there's a lot of. I do my DVD roundup or rundown, and it's on Fat Guys at the Movies, and I pick five, and then I do a stinker. I almost did it in reverse. I almost picked the five to avoid, and then here's one good one. But I mean, Miracle at St. Anna. We talked about that in the Gag Awards. It didn't win for worst Oscar bait, but it was pretty bad. Knights in Rodanthe, you're yawning, as I understand it. Nicholas Sparks, boring.
I'm already bored before you even talk about the movie.
W, which is the most irrelevant movie that came out last year, it's even more irrelevant now because, I mean, Obama's president, you know, Bush is there going, I can go ride a horse now, you know, and so W, completely terrible movie, and Soul Man, which is the most awful thing that. It's sad that, you know, it's one of Bernie Mac's last movies, and it was crap.
Indeed. Cool. Well, there you have it.
Woohoo.
So, time to move on to a review wrap-up. We'll start from the bottom and work our way up. We'll start with The International, which I said kind of sucks.
And I said totally sucks.
We also had Confessions of a Shopaholic, which I did not see, but Kevin said...
It kind of rocks. It's, you know, it's guys aren't going to really like it, but... Yeah, you can do worse if you're a drag to a movie.
All right. And then Friday the 13th, which I thought rocked.
And I said kind of rocked.
Sweet. Up next week,
we have
a few movies that it's likely we won't see. Is this really all that's coming out next week?
These are the only two wide releases. I don't know if there's anything kind of rolling out on a limited basis.
Yep. One is Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail, which is likely to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And the other one is Fired Up.
Fired Up. That's the one with Eric Kristen Olsen and the other guy that go to cheerleader camp.
Yeah, that's...
Didn't we see this already in, like, Bring It On?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah.
I don't know. What comes out the week after?
Now you're asking me?
February 20, Street Fighter. No, that's 2 weeks. Sorry.
No, it's the end of the month. We've got... Just hold on a second. Waiting for the, there we go. I'm just
Street Fighter.
Jonas Brothers, the 3D concert experience, which I'm sure you're going to, that's probably going to make a ton of money. And then Crossing Over without John Edward.
And then Street Fighter.
The legend of the hot chick from.
Oh, an assassination of a high school president, which I can't wait to talk about. So, anyways, if you'd like to get a hold of us in between now and next week, I don't even know where you can... Oh, fatguysatthemovies.com.
How long has it been? Or you can email us.
I have no idea. You can email us, fatguysatfilmschoolrejects.com. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Just go to iTunes and search Fat Guys the Movies, or give us a call, 614-388-8735. And that's all she freaking wrote this week.
Wow, way to end.
That's all I got. You know, go have a nice Valentine's Day weekend.
Thank you.